Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite. I'm joined, as always, by our fearless leader, Mr. Gene Smith. This episode is, again, being recorded remotely from our respective homes, but coming off of an exciting weekend, we wanted to take some time to talk about where things are with Ohio State athletics. So, Gene, first, foremost, how are you? How's the family?
Oh, thanks, Ben. Appreciate you doing this again. And family's doing well. Everybody's safe and locked down and ready for the holidays. And just really excited about the holiday season and, of course, the great weekend that Buckeyes have had. So, family's doing well. Hope yours is doing good.
They are. Yeah. Everybody is doing really well. We're just excited to get these holidays going. The house is fully decorated and it's fully taken over the Waite household. But Gene, we were sitting here 8 months ago, quite literally. I haven't moved a lot in the last 8 months, but back then there was so much that we didn't know. And now we're still living in uneasy times. But when you look at the progress that we've made this year, how do you feel when you see Coach Day and the football team lifting up that championship trophy?
Oh, I'll tell you, Ben, that was like Christmas Day. You know, I kind of went down on the field and spent time with the players and the coaches and staff. And then I kind of went over in the corner and just watched it for a while. And it was opened up one of the greatest presents that I've been blessed to enjoy. To see them accomplish a goal that they set out to achieve and what everything that they fought for and everything that they sacrificed. I can't begin to express enough how much these players and coaches and support staff have sacrificed for so long in order to have an opportunity to defend their championship. So it was a moment, an emotional moment, everywhere from just kind of a melancholy to happiness to, you know, excitement and joy and then anticipation of what's next. So really, really happy for them.
Yeah. Next steps. You talked about it. What does it mean? You know, there was all this speculation. Will the Big Ten play? Won't it play? How many games? What does it mean to, when you see that blocko included in the semifinals for the CFP?
You know, it was a great moment again. You know, I wasn't sure. I had a good level of confidence, obviously, at being on the committee and, you know, watching their decision-making process throughout the time they started in November. So I kind of felt like we would stay in, didn't know if we would be three or four. So I was a little anxious like everyone else, but it was really rewarding to see that pop up because I knew, again, our players and coaches and support staff had another opportunity to chase their second goal, which is to win the national championship. And so it was a great moment on Sunday, and really, really anxious for the guys to get going.
Yeah, and our team was without a few players on Saturday, Gene, and we know that there's restrictions on how much information we can share, but can you just give us a quick update on where the team is and how things are going?
It's going good. You know, I did talk to Chris Olave on Saturday, and, you know, and had a great conversation with him, Baron Browning, and some others. And so it's Drew Christman, and so we try to stay in touch with them, and they're doing well, and we're really excited about their opportunity to come back.
And is there any information you can share on the latest Big Ten COVID protocols and anything there?
You know, the one thing, there's a number of things that we've learned throughout this pandemic, and one of them is that, you know, you have to be flexible. You have to be able to respond to what you learn. We did that with the six-game rule when the Big Ten came together as ADs, and we reconsidered that rule, and ultimately the vote was cast to change it, and which allowed us to participate in the championship game. So you have to be able to be flexible. And I know the medical subcommittee has met last week and made some changes, and ultimately those changes will be announced. And I always felt that we had learned enough where we could move away from the 21-day rule. Now, I know that ultimately that's a medical expert's decision, not mine. But based upon what we've learned from the student athletes and staff and coaches that have been in that have had positive outcomes with our athletes, we felt the 10-day isolation. And if you put into consideration, they have to go through cardiac protocols, and then they have to do a physical assessment as well beyond the cardiac. So you factor in maybe a couple of days there. And then no student athlete, I don't care what level you're at, how elite you are, you're not going to walk out of isolation and be ready to play. So if you pass the protocols of cardiac and physical, you're still going to need a little time to reacclimate physically. When you're in isolation, you can't do much from a cardio point of view because you can't get your heart rate up because that's a threat. So you can stretch, you can do rollers, things of that nature, but it's going to take you time to get back to playing the game at this level. So whether that's 14 days, 15 days, 16 days, 17 days, 18 days, it's different for each athlete. And so I've always felt that after isolation, after the cardiac test and the physical assessment, it should be left to the local medical experts and strength coaches to determine when a student athlete is ready to come back and play. Again, that's for medical people to decide. And I know that some changes have been made, and I'm anxious to see what that number is. And we'll be able to deal with it, whatever it is.
Certainly, yeah. And everyone's looking forward to the next step, the game on New Year's Day, the semifinal in the Sugar Bowl against Clemson. I have a lot of fond memories in the Big Easy. It's one of my favorite places to visit. But obviously, this trip's going to look a little different, isn't it, Gene?
Yeah, it is. You know, we've had phone calls over all day yesterday and some text messages even today and talking about our operations there. And had a great call with our good friend Jeff Hunley, the executive director now. And known him for years. Actually, he's a Iowa grad. He's a Big Ten guy. But the reality is the Big Easy has a lot of memories for us. You know, we spent a lot of time down there, and we're going to stay at the Hilton Riverside, which is a facility we stayed at before, connected to the convention center. So we're familiar with that. But this is a different trip. It's basically a road trip. You know, we're going to go in the day before and play the game the next night and come home. And so it's unlike any other bowl game / CFP game that we've played in from that perspective. So we're just trying to mitigate any exposure opportunity. So we're just going to go in the day before. So wish it was different so we could take advantage of all the unbelievable hospitality that New Orleans has to offer and the great experiences and all the great food that that they have to offer. We're going to miss that, but it's just going to be nice for our guys to have a chance to play.
Yeah, when we were down there for the Sugar Bowl against Alabama, my wife and I ate so much over the first 2 days we were there that leading up to the game, she literally had to go lay down because she couldn't finish her gumbo. She's like, I can't put any more food in me. So
I tell you, I love that place. You know, actually, I'll share a personal story. We won the national championship at Notre Dame in 1973 playing Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. It's my first time in New Orleans. And at that point in time, they allowed the team to stay an extra night, which I still don't understand. That was like dangerous as all get out. And I remember my partners and I were on the end of Bourbon Street, 4 o'clock in the morning. We were sitting on the curb, and there was a guy playing the saxophone across the street on Bourbon Street. And we had thrown some money in his case, and we sat there for an hour until the sun started to peak in. And just listening to him play the sax. And that is a memory that I have of that city. That city has so much culture. Beyond the food, it has so much culture. And it's really something that I wish our freshmen and sophomores and others would have a chance to see. But there'll be another time, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And thankfully, there's all those places on Bourbon Street that serve root beer and cream soda until 4 a.m. You know.
Exactly.
So this year, the whole postseason timeline is a little truncated. It's kind of condensed this year. How do you think Coach Day is going to adjust to try and get the team ready for that game, Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, this is really unique. And so he's developed a plan for this week. all the way through Christmas, and then he's going to reassess and then develop another plan for next week as we roll into the game, and it basically will be game week. The biggest challenge, Ben, is just the time that you have for your players outside of practice. You know, when they're in the woody and they're doing what we ask them to do in the facility, and then, you know, we're getting them ready. Our concern is the pandemic when they leave the facility, and hopefully they put themselves in a bubble. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. And Ryan held a Zoom right after the announcement and talked about that a little bit. But basically, he's going to practice normal practices and some pads and some inspires, and just try and get them ready. This week will be more between the ears on some fundamentals. But when we get into game week, you'll probably taper off a little bit. But and then we have to, you know, those who may ultimately be able to, based upon whatever the new rule is, be able to cascade back into the team, but have to merge them back in. So a little more challenging from that perspective, but I think our guys will be ready.
This team has dealt with so much over the last 12 months, you know, even flying back from Arizona last year and then everything that's happened subsequently. From your conversations with them, what are some of the lessons that our Buckeyes have learned this year?
You know, I'll tell you the from a high level that we've reminded them, and I've talked to some of them about, and they've shared with me. You know, as they move into their lives, you know, we're the total sum of all of our experiences in life, all of us. This experience that they've had in college will give them strength to deal with anything as they move further in life. You know, the stop and starts, you know, the number of times that they've been told no. You know, for a period of time during the season, when I'd walk in the facility, you know, everybody would look at me because they were wondering if I was coming in to, you know, deliver a message that the game was canceled or whatever. And so what they've had to deal with, those who have tested positive and gone into isolation, or those who've got family members, the whole gamut of experiences and ups and downs. Since March, they only had 2 days of spring practice, had to go home. So there's so many different things that have strengthened them. The lessons learned, it's a book for these young men. And so while the pandemic has been painful, we have to embrace the positives. And the positives are we had a chance to play, and these lessons learned will be invaluable for them as they move on in their lives.
How important during times like this is a program's culture?
Oh, Ben, that's the whole deal. The only reason that we're here is because we have this culture. You know, when Urban was hired, I remember he and I talked about recruiting character in his first year. And we had a long conversation about character. We have to have talent. But we have to have character. We have to have young men who buy into who we are. And he did a masterful job of doing that. And then Ryan has taken it to another level. We try our best to assess an individual's character and their commitment to do what's right when no one's looking. People who are interested in making sure that they do what's right in the classroom. So we are able to recruit character, recruit talent, and have young people buy into what we're all about. And that's developing them as young men and treating them like professionals and trying to help them grow. So ultimately, you know, a lot of the work coaches do, staff does, but the upperclassmen set the tone. You know, the John Coopers and the Tuck Boylans and the Pete Warners, and I can just go on and on. And they just set the tone. And so the young puppies merge into the culture and understand, hey, this is how we're going to be. And so that has helped us get through this pandemic and helped us position ourselves to defend the championship and then ultimately go chase the Natty.
The other huge win from the weekend was on the hardwood. Coach Holtman and the men's basketball team had a big win over UCLA this weekend. That game popped on the schedule a little late, or the opponent changed. Can you talk us through that process?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we decided in with basketball and playing non-conference, and it's just so unique. We wanted to try and play teams where their testing protocols were the same, were close to similar to ours. And the ACC had something a little bit different. So we were able to make a switch and pick up a Pac-12 team, UCLA, because the Pac-12 testing protocols are really aligned like ours. And so we wanted to have what we call a clean floor based upon our testing protocols, and we've done that. And you know, fortunately, UCLA and Marty Jarman, the athletic director out there, worked with us and worked with CBS Sports to accommodate the switch. And it was really good because we know Mick Cronin, the head coach, and obviously being at Cincinnati. And so it was a little bit of a lot of connections and relationships that we felt comfortable with. And but mostly it was testing protocols. And I'm just so proud. The young men performed well. What a great Saturday for Buckeye fans, you know, a chance to win our Big Ten championship in football and then play in Cleveland, one of our home cities, and beat UCLA, a storied blue blood program, and just so proud of the kids. And actually have a couple of our key players come back, EJ Liddell, and have Seth Towns finally get on the floor for a few minutes and begin to get acclimated into the team from a playing point of view. So it was a good Saturday.
Absolutely. It's one that I think it's been long awaited for Buckeye fans, just wins all across the board. But yeah, especially anytime we can beat the Fighting Germans from
The Fighting
UCLA.
Germans.
So Gene, we've talked a lot about how far we've come, but now I'd like to try and focus on what's next for Ohio State athletics. So what's coming in the new year, and where are we headed?
You know, we fortunately our winter sports and our spring sports now have their start dates. They have their championship dates, and the conference office for the Big Ten sports are finalizing the schedules for those teams. Most of the sports will play, well, all of them will play less than 70% of a normal season. And all of them will play Big Ten only. Not all of them, but majority will play Big Ten only. So we have our testing dates set up, our testing protocols in place. We have our tests aligned through the conference. So we're going to give it a shot, see if we can give those young people a chance to compete. I have a coach's call today. We'll have Ryan Day and Chris Holtman and Kevin McGuff and Nadine from women's ice hockey and Steve from men's ice hockey share some experiences that they've had in their season thus far with our other coaches to help them understand what best practices are, what lessons they've learned, so that they can mentally prepare to move into a season next year. But we have a plan. We're going to try and work that plan and see where we go. So we're going to give these young people a chance to compete. We wouldn't be able to do it without the great support of our donors. We had a higher purpose campaign that's still going on, and a significant amount of dollars have been raised to allow us to afford to do this. But we're really excited.
Absolutely. And the fundraiser in me feels obligated to say more information about the Higher Purpose campaign at go.osu.edu/higher purpose. Gene, thank you so much for taking some time again to chat today. I know everyone really appreciates you keeping us in the loop and updated throughout this process. But that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate everyone who's listened and subscribed thus far. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Wade. Happy holidays, happy new year, all the good stuff. Best wishes to everybody. Stay healthy. And of course, go Buckeyes.
Go Bucks. Happy holidays.